Social media for businesses. It usually feels like being stuck at a really bad cocktail party. You know the type.
Oh, absolutely. The worst.
Right. You're trying to have a genuine conversation, and someone just keeps interrupting you to say, like, look at my new product, or buy my service, or we're having a sale. They're just handing you their business card over and over again.
Yeah, and it's exhausting for the customer. But honestly, I think it's just as exhausting for the business owner. I mean, they are stuck on this relentless treadmill, just constantly guessing what the algorithm actually wants today.
Exactly. It's panic-inducing. But today on the Deep Dive, we are basically cracking the code to escape that cocktail party.
Yes, finally.
We've got our hands on some fascinating sources today. We are looking at a seminar slide deck and an internal training module from Hearst's The Social Studio.
Right, and these materials were originally created specifically to train local retailers at the Crossroads Carmel Shopping Center, which is a really great case study.
It really is.
Yeah.
So our mission today is to rescue you, the listener, from that paralyzing, what do I post today panic. We are going to explore a proven, totally data-backed operational system that shifts your brand from, well, just shouting into the void, to actually building a community and driving revenue. And you can apply this to literally any business.
Because to pull that off, we really have to start by completely dismantling our old assumptions about how social discovery works right now. I mean, before you can even think about what to post on a Tuesday morning, you need a firm grasp on the mechanics of where and how people are actually encountering your brand in 2026.
You're talking about the transition to what the sources call UGC 2.0.
Yeah.
Because we know that, what, 72% of the U.S. population uses social media?
Yeah, a massive captive audience.
Right. But the mechanism for finding content has completely evolved. We're not just scrolling chronological feeds anymore.
Far from it. I mean, user-generated content 1.0 was essentially passive. It was just people posting photos of their lattes or their new shoes for their immediate followers. But UGC 2.0, it integrates search, SEO, and really aggressive algorithmic discovery.
Okay, so how does that actually work under the hood?
Well, the tectonic plates really shifted back in mid-2025. Google made a massive update to how its AI processes text within social platforms. So Instagram captions actually started appearing directly in Google search results.
Wait, really? So the caption is no longer just like a witty afterthought. It's actually a digital signpost pointing Google directly to your storefront.
Precisely. The search engines realized that people, they don't just want static corporate websites anymore. They want real-time, authentic validation.
Oh, wow. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so if a user types, say, Fresh Flowers Carmel into Google, the algorithm isn't just looking for a florist's homepage. It scans social data. It might actually surface an Instagram post from a local shop like Burst and Bloom directly in the search results, simply because their caption naturally read, "Putting together these fresh spring bouquets at Burst and Bloom today."
That changes the whole game. The words you type are pulling double duty now. I
Yeah.
mean, they have to stop the scroll on the actual app, but they also act as these permanent digital signposts out on the open web, just waiting to intercept someone's search query.
Exactly. And because the algorithms are now prioritizing that real-time relevance, they are simultaneously getting absolutely ruthless about what they
Right.
suppress.
The sources explicitly say authenticity is king.
Yes. But that's not just a buzzword here. It's a measurable set of parameters. AI-written captions that lack a distinct human voice, mathematically penalized. Over-edited, heavily filtered photos, those trigger spam filters now. And chasing generic trends, like, pasting a viral audio track over a totally unrelated video just to hack the algorithm, that actually degrades your account's overall trust score.
So the system is actively sniffing out engineered virality. I also noticed in the module a heavy emphasis on the algorithmic penalty for, well, what you used to call posting and ghosting.
Oh, yeah. You cannot do that anymore.
Right. We used to think you could just schedule your post for the week and walk away.
That behavior is basically toxic to a brand's reach now. If you drop a post and then ignore the comments and the direct messages that come in, the algorithm flags your account as a broadcast-only entity. It doesn't see you as a community participant. The data actually indicates that replying to every single comment and DM within 24 hours measurably boosts the organic reach on your subsequent posts. Active conversation literally proves to the machine learning model that there are real humans on both ends of the screen.
Okay, so the algorithm heavily rewards genuine human connection. But, I mean, let's say your SEO-optimized caption does its job. Someone searches, they find you, they click through to your profile. Getting them there is only half the battle, right?
Definitely.
Because if they land on your feed and the content is garbage, they're going to bounce immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We need a way to filter the garbage before it ever even gets published.
And that brings us to a really specific quality control mechanism from the training. The overarching goal is to shift your entire operational mindset from interrupting the user to inspiring the user.
I like that.
Yeah. And to guarantee that happens, every single post concept has to pass through a 5-point mandatory filter known as the VOPRA test. VOPRA.
It's basically like a bouncer at the door of your Instagram feed.
Yeah.
If the post doesn't meet the criteria, it just doesn't get past the velvet rope.
That's a perfect analogy. And this bouncer isn't just keeping out the obvious troublemakers, right? They are actively curating the vibe of the room so that the people inside actually want to stay longer. Let's look at the criteria.
Let's do it.
The V stands for visually appealing. The imagery needs to fuel the viewer's imagination instantly. The O is for original. Like, is this a fresh perspective or are you just parroting a tired format? Then P is positive.
Which honestly carries so much weight given the current digital climate. I feel like people are actively seeking refuge from the endless scroll of negativity and outrage.
Totally.
So if your content embodies some inherent goodness or optimism, it really stands out.
Absolutely. Then you have R for relevant. The ideas or the products you're showcasing, they need to be within reach for the viewer. It can't be so purely aspirational that it alienates them.
Right. That makes sense.
And finally, A is for actionable. Does this piece of content naturally drive the user to take a specific step? Whether that's saving the post, sharing it with a friend, or visiting a link.
Okay, let me try to apply this bouncer to a real-world scenario. Let's say I'm rushing on a Tuesday morning. I just snap a slightly blurry photo of my coffee cup sitting on my extremely messy desk, and my caption is just, "Getting through Tuesday. Let's run the VOPRA test."
All right, let's do it. Is it visually appealing?
No. It's a messy desk.
Original.
Definitely not. Literally everyone posts their coffee.
Positive.
I mean, barely. It's mostly just complaining about Tuesday.
Relevant.
Maybe to other tired people.
And actionable.
Not at all. There is nothing to do with that post.
Yeah.
It fails the test miserably.
Exactly. Under this operational system, you have to score every draft. A truly great post hits 4 or 5 of those marks. A passable post hits 3. But if your draft hits 2 or fewer, the rule is uncompromising. You kill the draft.
Wow. You just don't post that day.
You do not hit publish. Because pushing out mediocre filler content actually damages your account more than staying silent. You are actively training both your audience and the algorithm's recommendation engine to just scroll past you.
That's dangerous.
It is. Because when you eventually do post something great, it gets suppressed because your historical engagement rate is terrible.
Okay. So the bouncer is at the door. The quality is protected.
Hmm.
But, that doesn't really solve the terror of the blank screen.
No, it doesn't.
You're sitting there, you've killed your bad coffee cup draft, and now you have absolutely no idea what to post. I know a lot of small businesses panic right here and fall into a very specific trap.
Yes, they fall into all show mode. When you run a business, just showing your product is the path of least resistance. You unbox new inventory, you take a photo. You finish a contracting job, you post the before and after photo.
Right, it's easy.
It is. But the inherent danger is that if you only rely on showcasing inventory, within 3 months, your dynamic social feed devolves into a static, boring digital catalog.
And nobody opens a social app to read a catalog. They open it to be entertained or educated. So if posting product photos turns your feed into a wasteland, what is the alternative? How do we build a real rotation?
The operational fix is a strict forcing function called the Four Pillars Framework. The pillars are show, tell, teach, and invite.
Show, tell, teach, invite.
Right. And by applying a golden rule to these pillars, you completely eliminate decision fatigue. The rule is incredibly simple. Hit all four pillars every single week and never post the same type twice in a row.
Okay. I can literally hear small business owners groaning right now. They're saying, I sell clothes. My entire business model is selling clothes. If I don't show the clothes in every single post, how am I supposed to make payroll? This feels like we're just overcomplicating a simple transaction.
I get that. It feels that way until you actually map it against consumer psychology and the customer loyalty loop. If you only deploy the show pillar, you are exclusively targeting the very beginning of the customer journey exploration.
Okay.
You are completely starving the trust building and the loyalty stages. A balanced rotation ensures you are feeding every aspect of the relationship. A customer might discover you because of a product shot, sure, but they stick around because of the other three pillars.
That is a great point. Let's actually pull apart each of those pillars to see the mechanics in action. We'll start with Shoujo W since it's the most common. This is the product, the service, the physical space itself.
Right. It is the easiest to produce, but applying that VOPRA filter elevates it. Instead of a flat, artificially lit photo of a pastry sitting on a counter, you engineer an experience.
How so?
Imagine a 20-second reel panning smoothly across a bakery case. You shoot it at 7 a.m. when the golden hour light is streaming through the front window. You strip out any trending music or voiceover, and you just leave the ambient ASMR-style sound of the cafe waking up. You know, the espresso machine hissing, the quiet chatter.
Oh, that immediately hits visually appealing and original. It places the viewer physically inside your space. But following the golden rule, if Monday was a show post, Tuesday cannot be.
Exactly.
So that brings us to the second pillar tale. This focuses on the story, the history, the actual people behind the register.
And this is universally the most underutilized pillar because it requires vulnerability. Owners might feel completely unnatural putting their face on camera and they think, you know, no one cares about me. They just want the product.
But the internal data analyzed from the Carmel retailers paints a very different picture, right?
A completely different picture. Campaigns categorized as real people, real storefronts, vastly outperform polished product shots.
Which totally makes sense. I mean, show is the beautifully curated window display you admire from the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
But tell is the friendly human conversation you have with the owner while they're actually ringing up your purchase. It creates a parasocial relationship. The viewer feels like they actually know you.
Yes, and the execution here shouldn't look like a high-budget commercial. One of the best examples from the training is just a stark, black-and-white, candid photo of the shop owner caught mid-laugh. And you pair that with a 200-word caption telling a genuine funny interaction that happened in the store that week.
I love that.
Or simply sitting on a stool, holding the phone, and talking for 45 seconds about why you chose a specific vendor. The raw, unpolished nature is the feature, not a bug.
Okay, so you've captured their attention with a product. You've built trust with your personal story. The third pillar is where you establish authority teach. We're talking about actionable tips, how-tos, and insider insights. The training material points to this as the highest leverage content you can make right now.
It really is, mainly because of how algorithmic recommendation engines process engagement data today. The machines just don't value likes the way they used to. A like is a fleeting, low-effort metric.
Right. You just double-tap and keep scrolling.
Exactly. The algorithms are currently hunting for two heavily weighted signals, saves and shares. And the teach pillar is mathematically engineered to trigger both of those.
How does that work under the hood? Like, why does a save carry so much weight?
Well, a save tells the machine learning model that your content possesses long-term utility. The user wants to reference it later. And a share indicates viral expansion potential position. The user is actively distributing your content to a totally new network.
Right.
So if a boutique posts a structured graphic detailing how to wash and store a cashmere sweater, viewers save it for winter. If a wine shop films a quick guide on three wine pairings for a spicy dinner, users share it with the friend who's hosting the weekend dinner party.
The key word there is structured. You can't just ramble on camera about cashmere. You have to format the knowledge so it's easily extractable. Numbered lists, before and afters, flowcharts, like a diagram showing the exact order of operations for a nighttime skincare routine.
Precisely. You are taking your specialized, hard-earned knowledge and giving it away for free to cement your status as the expert.
Which perfectly sets the stage for the final pillar, invite. This covers your events, your promotional offers, your direct asks. And the defining characteristic of this pillar is restriction. Invite is the only IY pillar where you are permitted to ask the audience to do something for you.
The only one.
Wait, I'm stuck on this restriction. Reserving the ask for only one out of every four posts, that feels terrifying for a business with overhead. Like, if I run that bakery, my entire goal is to sell those croissants. If I deliberately choose not to push a sale 75% of the time, aren't I just leaving money on the table?
It's a common fear, but you have to think about the psychological effect of ad blindness. If every single post is a demand, buy this book now, shop the sale, your audience experiences chronic fatigue. You train their brains to automatically filter you out because you are perpetually taking value without ever providing any. By restricting your promotional ask to just 25% of your output, you spend 75% of your time earning their goodwill and attention. So when you finally deploy the invite pillar, they're actually primed and willing to listen.
The friction is just totally removed. And when you do make that ask, the directive has to be singular. The materials emphasize having one clear call to action, not visit our website, follow our page, and tag three friends in the comments.
Yeah.
It needs to be hyper-focused, like reply yes to this story to get the RSVP link.
Exactly. If the user has to spend more than 3 seconds figuring out what you want them to do, the conversion fails. Cognitive overload kills the sale. Clarity is non-negotiable here.
Okay, so we have the organic engine humming along. We are filtering out the noise with the VOPRE bouncer, and we are constantly rotating through show, tell, teach, and invite to keep the community engaged. Once that foundation is solid, how do we pour fuel on the fire? Because the final piece of the puzzle here is paid social.
Right. But the most crucial warning about paid social comes right at the beginning of the module. Nobody buys from an ad that leads to an abandoned house.
Oh, wow.
Your organic presence basically acts as your permission slip to run paid campaigns. Imagine running a beautifully targeted ad. The user clicks through out of curiosity, and they discover your last post was from 4 months ago, or your comment section is a total ghost town. They bounce immediately. The trust evaporates.
It exposes the brand as hollow. So paid social is no longer about inventing brilliant ad campaigns from scratch. It's simply putting a megaphone in front of the organic content that your core community has already validated.
That's exactly it. It's amplification over invention. Think about the math. Let's say you post a teach reel organically, and it naturally climbs to 2,000 views.
Yep.
The market is giving you a very clear signal. This resonates.
Right.
That is the exact moment you intervene and put $20 to $50 of ad spend behind it for 3 to 5 days. You leverage the algorithmic momentum to push it to 10,000 views. You are marrying a proven organic winner with paid reach, which dramatically lowers your cost per acquisition.
That is so smart. And you can also deploy that paid megaphone for highly specific short window promotions. The case study with Tace Morgan really stood out to me. They were hosting a new wine release, and instead of a massive ongoing budget, they put just $100 behind a post for a single week to hit non-followers in their specific demographic.
Yes, and they also utilize hyper-local geographic targeting, which is incredibly powerful. If you run a local business like, say, Sea Harvest, running a statewide ad is a complete waste of capital. The ad platforms allow you to drop a pin and target only the tourists currently sitting in coastal hotel rooms within a strict 5-mile radius.
Yeah.
You intercept the consumer exactly when and where they have the capacity to make a purchasing decision. But again, that conversion only happens if they click through and find a vibrant, active feed built on those four pillars.
It is a totally interconnected ecosystem. This framework, it really dismantles the chaos of social media and replaces it with a manageable daily operation. We started by understanding how AI and SEO have revolutionized discovery through UGC 2.0. We empowered the VOPRA bouncer to guarantee every post inspires. We built a continuous rotation of showing the product, telling the human story, teaching expertise, and inviting action. And finally, we isolate the winners and amplify them with surgical ad spend.
It just strips away the anxiety. You're no longer guessing. You are executing a proven, balanced strategy.
And even though we've referenced specific local retailers today, the architecture here is universal. Whether you're a freelance graphic designer, a real estate agent, or a neighborhood cafe, this is how you build a digital community that translates to real-world revenue. It brings us right back to that bad cocktail party. Following this system ensures you are no longer the desperate person shoving business cards in people's faces.
Right.
You're the person telling a fascinating story, offering brilliant advice, and genuinely engaging with the room. You become the person everyone actively seeks out.
You transition from a broadcaster to a true community builder.
As we wrap up today's deep dive, I want to leave you with something to really chew on. We've seen how the underlying algorithms in 2026 are aggressively rewarding raw, unpolished, highly authentic human behavior. The natural light, the candid stories, the real-time comment replies. If raw authenticity is now the most heavily weighted metric in the machine, Well, how long until the algorithm evolves to actively penalize brands that look too professional, too slick, and too highly produced?
That is a critical question about the future of digital marketing. The uncanny valley of brand perfection might very soon become a massive liability.
Definitely something to keep in mind the next time you're tempted to over-edit a photo before running it past the VOPRA bouncer. We'll see you next time.